Thank you for downloading the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast. You can find more helpful advice at focusonthefamily.com/parentingpodcast.
It's been observed that virtues like kindness and respect are often better caught than taught, and you can encourage your kids to use kind words and respect others, but the truth is, when you model those qualities, it really sets a tone and serves up a lesson. I'm John Fuller, joined by Danny Huerta, who leads our parenting and youth department here at Focus on the Family. And Danny, it is so humbling to have to take a step back, or get to take a step back, depending on the circumstances, and ask, am I living out what I'm talking about? Am I walking my talk with my kids? That's a really hard sometimes, but useful exercise.
It is. Some of those things come out in counseling conversations. And in my own life, I've noticed moments when I haven't been the most respectful, when I get off a phone call with somebody, or I'm avoiding a certain phone call. And I'm going, what am I communicating to my kids in that? We have to look inward and be self-aware of what's happening inside of us and how that's coming out. That's where respect begins. How do I show my level of focus and my level of love for other people, people that are unlovable, the stranger, when I'm driving? How am I modeling the respect for other people's space and the fact that they have places to go as well? There are many places, many opportunities for us to show and model respect and the fact that we are wanting to live out what God has called us to do. And we're not always going to be the most loving people. And that's okay. Have those conversations with your kids and have an openness to get some constructive feedback to you. Those are life-giving words back to you. Mm-hmm. When you're not being respectful. Open that up. Hey, have you guys ever seen me not be respectful to someone? And be ready to hear about that and then grow.
They probably will accommodate your request and offer at least a time or two that came to mind. And it's always good to be a little introspective about where we're at in our parenting journey and in our walk with Christ. Let's go ahead and turn now to a conversation in which we'll hear from Dr. David Clark, an author, a speaker, licensed psychologist, and a great broadcast guest. Jim Daly and I sat down with him, and Dr. Clark offered some practical examples of how you can model respect for your kids.
David, welcome back to Focus.
Thanks.
It's so good. I mean, I love your energy. I love your humor. And I connect with it because I problem solve through humor as well. I mean, this life can be so overwhelming if you don't have a sense of humor about it. It's crushing.
Oh, I agree. You have to laugh or you'll be driven crazy.
I think so.
By your own kids.
All right. So we covered these five needs of a child. Let's recap those and we'll get into it again. What are the five?
Love, respect, competence, spirituality, and independence. That is the package.
And we hit love, but again, for the listeners joining us, let's touch on that again real quick. What, from a child's perspective, what does love look like?
For a child, time equals love, quality time. And I recommend, we didn't touch on this last time, so I'm glad you brought it up, Jim, individual time with each child, also very important. I did a lot of group things. We had four kids, so there was a grouping often. But to identify each child and what they want to do, once every 2 to 3 weeks, a couple of hours with each child, mom doing it and dad doing it, is a gold mine.
Why is that so important? I think that's an area I may have not kept my eye on, because having two boys, we did a lot together, and it was always boy stuff. You know, we'd go play basketball together, do things together. And I do regret not separating that sometimes. I mean, I did some of it, but probably not enough of it.
Yeah. It's tough to think of because your time is so tight. And this is an extra, going the extra mile. It's not every week, maybe. But that for the child that we're doing just this, it's just about me. This is all about me. And it gives the opportunity when you're doing an activity with a girl or a boy for some nice things to come out that will not come out if brother or sister are there.
Right. It's true. Usually the one personality, if it's a bit stronger, the other personality or the other person will be kind of quiet.
Yeah,
right?
Right. When it's just that child, boy, some things are going to come out.
Yeah, it's blossom. One thing I think I did do is Saturday breakfast, we'd maybe go out and get early breakfast at a restaurant or something like that. That was always fun. Yeah. Dave, you also mentioned that the counterpart to love is respect. It's interesting, you know, I think as parents, we tend to play down the respect for children. We want them to respect us.
Mm. That's right.
Of course. But respecting a child, what does that look like? Especially for us dads that, you know, we want that respect, but we may not know how to show respect to our kids.
It's allowing your child to put some reasonable limits on you.
What does that look like?
Well, in terms of privacy, even when our little girls, of course, they were girls, even the girls and William, their room is their room. Now, I own the home. I'm coming in. But I would always knock on the door first out of respect for them. The girls might be dressing or doing something, and girls always make you wait no matter what. They could be actually doing nothing, but they always make you wait. I'll be in a moment, Daddy. Why? I know you're probably right. Whatever. It's a woman thing. So I would respect that, and I would not search their room or try to tidy it up. That's their room. That's kind of their fiefdom. That's a respect. Sandy had a problem with that. I have no problem with the room being a mess. Who cares? That's a minor issue of rebellion. We had two kids that were just slobs, absolute slobs. I won't give their names. But we let their rooms were just like a hurricane. I would come in and go, where was the bomb? Are you okay? There was a, what do you mean? A bomb went off in this room. Oh, Danny, I can't believe. But I allowed that to happen because it's not that important.
Right. It's but how did you coach Sandy in accepting
that? I had to say, honey, look, this is a healthy form of rebellion. All kids have to rebel or they're not going to break and we become independent. And it's a way of respecting them as well. So it's a minor thing. They're sticking it to the man with a messy room. You're the man. And it's like safe. Who cares? It's very easy for them to be taught as they get to be teenagers how to clean a room.
Yeah.
You can create a monkey to do that. It's not a big deal. One of our daughters, who was the slob, the minute, the day she got a boyfriend, she went to her room and she cleaned it up. It was like a Holiday Inn maid. It was, you could eat off the floor. It was spick and span because so-and-so, I can't give the name, we know who it was, is coming over and he's going
to
maybe
see my
room.
She had the motivation to do so.
Yes, it was a miracle.
The boy version of that, having two boys, is the shower. All of a sudden,
oh,
they realize
goodness.
Maybe I'd
yes.
smell better if I showered.
Exactly. Personal hygiene. Yeah. William was the same way. He started dating quotes in middle school, and yeah, he started to clean up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And even the room was a little better if the girl was coming over.
That is so true.
Well, I can imagine that there are some moms and dads kind of cringing right now at the thought of their kids' rooms being a perpetual disaster area. But that principle is so helpful. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to offer your kids more freedom. Danny, some other ideas about doing that, about allowing our kids to kind of step up to the adulthood experience.
Yeah, freedom to grow, right? With time, with responsibilities, giving more of those. I love those conversations with my son. He's 17 now, the oldest of the three, and we've got to talk about the privilege of freedom, but the opportunity he gets to practice some things imperfectly. I'll ask him questions. What do you think? How's your room coming along? How's your balance between schoolwork and having a girlfriend and managing basketball? How do you think you're doing with that? And we have those check-in points. And sometimes I'll allow him to make decisions. What time do you think would be best for you to get back since you have these things tomorrow? What do you think? He'll say, I think around 11, maybe midnight. Do you really think, why do you think that's the best thing for what you have going on tomorrow? And we'll have that dialogue. And if he has a good reason, I go, okay, well, let's try it out. Let's see how that goes. And then we'll check back in after tomorrow to see if it really went well. Now, since I'm being open with you, I need you to be honest back with me. If it didn't work, then we need to adjust. But I'm trusting that, and that's part of gaining freedom along the way. And I tell him, I'm so excited that you're growing up, you're growing older, and you have many more decisions to make, and I want to make sure that we fail well together mm-hmm. if it's not going well. And he knows that I love him tremendously, and there are going to be moments where the decision's going to be placed on him, and we'll have a checkup later.
Yeah, I've had to really learn along the way of raising our six kids that letting them own the outcome is actually pretty good. And mm-hmm. and it took a long time. I mean, somebody asked me about a failure of my kids and how we handled that. And I told them what we did. And they looked at me and said, well, you really rescued her, didn't you? It's like, no, did I? You're right, I did. and that's not the point. The point is what you said, fail together mm-hmm. and try it out. Let's try it out. Mm-hmm. And I think those are really empowering words. Well, you can tell Danny knows a lot about parenting, and that's why he heads up our parenting department here at Focus. He's not perfect, but he's got some great insights, and he has a great book called The 7 Traits of Effective Parenting. That's going to help you regardless of where your kids are at in age. And we'll encourage you to get a copy from us here at Focus on the Family. And we've got that on our website. Order it directly from Focus on the Family and help us help other families. We've got the link in the episode notes. And then when you make a generous donation of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family today to help us continue making podcasts like this and the very feature-rich parenting website that we have, and so much more, we'll say thank you for your generous donation by sending a copy of Dr. David Clark's book, Parenting is Hard, and Then You Die. Make your donation when you call 800-A-FAMILY or visit the episode notes for details about Dr. Clark's book, donating, and Danny's book as well. Next time, how parenting is a wonderful opportunity to grow in your faith. And for now, on behalf of Danny Huerta and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.